Anyways, other than that, I'm talking to clients, placing trades. Talked to a guy just before this, and I have trades to place. You know, today's a light day because my nephew's here staying the day with me. So, you know, after this call, I'm going to hang out with him for a while and take him out to lunch, you know. So it's a little bit of a kind of like a day off, you know. I've been raising money. I don't know if it's out of sympathy, but people are sending money my way. You know, they might feel sorry for me, so they send me an ACAT. I'll take it.
Take it as you can get it.
I had a guy, I had lunch with a client, and he's ACATing in two accounts, one for 420 and another one for 300 from HSBC. Okay.
Great.
And had another guy, pretty nice account, wiring me 150, placed some trades. Jose that I talked to, and again this morning, he's gonna ACAT 2 million our way. Great. So, you know, I'm having meaningful conversations with people, you know, and kind of back in the saddle. I have a knack for something, but it's also my handicap. And that is that I'm very good at upgrading accounts in pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have a $1 million account and we talk and you say, okay, I'll throw another 200 your way. And then a few months later, I got another 350, you know, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 years later, you have a $3 million account or a $4 million account. I'm very good at that. What I'm not good at is send me your $3 million. I'm just not, I don't know why. I mean, maybe it's my style but I got to get better at that. I got to get better at like more of transferring in mass. And I think that the answer to that is more in the complete financial plan. Yeah, I think that's the answer. Now, I've been told that in terms of upgrading in pieces, like I'm the best some people have ever seen. I'm talking area directors have told me, like there's nobody like you. You got you wave like a magic, you know, like a charm in front of people and they send you money, but it's in pieces though. It's not, you know, I mean, our largest account, George will tell you, he's close to 100 million. He started with 500,000. I upgraded him in pieces. He's at 100 million. Now of that, I would say he probably made about 30 million.
Right.
While he's been with me. So he probably gave me about 70, but still. And that was in a million here, 2 million there. 500 grand. It wasn't probably, here.
I guess a good question here would be, is it normal to just bring it in mass or is the piece by piece method more normal? Obviously you speak to a lot of financial advisors. So
I would say, Al, you know that as well as I do. What you do is not normal. I mean, the 100 million is normal. When you get people with a lot of money, they don't want to give it all to you right away.
Yeah.
But when you get people with 3 million, you get it all. And that's because you put so much work up front in the relationship and building the financial plan and implementing it and show them what to do. And and they ACAT the whole thing because they've made a decision that you're their guy. And most people today don't have, you know, five relationships. They have one because it's too much trouble to have more than one because they got all the stuff with them, right? The checking, the whole thing, right? Everything is there at one firm. Yeah, so they don't like the idea of having.
This is what Jose told me yesterday and this morning. That's what Jose told me, George. Is that he has other investments like he's got an interest in a minor league baseball team, a soccer team. He's got a big contract with Nike. He's a shoe distributor here in Miami. At one point, maybe the It shoe store on Miami Beach, with a lot of Heat players as clients and, that type of thing. But, now, he's winding down. He's older, but he's got rock property. He's got a buyer on a property, by the way, $2 million cash. Okay. That's a liquidity event coming up.
Yeah. That's you. That's where that goes.
Right. Yep. He's got now, as far as investment accounts, he says, I'm too spread out and you're the guy. I'm too spread out and you're the guy. So we got to start consolidating. Now he's also a hard guy to work because I've built up his account over time, but he's a guy that just doesn't give you all the money. It's got to be in dribs and drabs and,
And you know what, Al, maybe this is the way you work. Who cares? You get it.
Yeah. I think the way to work quicker though is the financial plan. Yeah. That'll cut the timeline down.
And position yourself. I mean, this takes some courage, but position yourself as the risk manager. And the term I use is, Jose, you've got everything scattered. He thinks it's diversified, right? And that's a positive word.
No, he actually thinks it's scattered. Okay. Like this guy doesn't think he thinks it's scattered.
Right. And so you got things scattered all over the street. You can just see it blowing, all over the place, right? Chicago streets blowing, Miami streets blowing, certificates everywhere. You got things scattered all over the street. One of the problems with doing that is you really don't know what risk you're taking.
Right.
Because you don't have one person managing as your risk manager. You're kind of your compliance officer, your guy watching out for you. So you've got, remember when Apple crashed and everybody owned Apple and they didn't know where they owned it. They owned it everywhere. Well, we haven't had one of those for a while, but one of those is coming, right? Where they don't know, they've got something everywhere and they don't know how much they actually own of it. And they've got a way over concentrated position. And so they're not really managing their risk. And so one of the things you can do is say, is find an example, something that didn't work and just use that and say, you don't want to have all these positions that you don't really know. You own a mutual fund, ETF, you own individual stocks, you own this. You can have a way over concentrated position in one stock, which most of us have now in the FANG stocks. Mm-hmm. And that can be something if that's your conscious decision to keep that, great. But do you know what that is? Do you really understand the risk you're taking? Or is that, you want it to be a conscious decision versus an unconscious decision. And that makes sense, right?
Got it. Yeah. In a different way, I kind of told him the same thing, that I'm managing his money like this is in a silo.
Right. I don't know what else. I don't know how much risk I can take here. Yeah.
I don't know what you got.
That can be all in equities because you got all bonds over here, right?
Yeah.
And so we got different asset allocations that we do based on what we know about you. If I can't see the whole, you have tools too to do that, by the way. I highly recommend you use that. The tools that where you consolidate all the accounts.
Yeah.
So you can see them. Right.
Yeah. Yes.
One of my clients does this all the time and does very well in bringing those other things together.
Let me ask you a question, Rob. In terms of the guys that you manage, what percentage would you say are Morgan Stanley advisors?
I would say 90% now.
Wow. Okay. Okay. So you really know the Morgan Stanley system because that's what you're dealing with. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I do, you know, through, you know, still have many clients in the Miami area and, you know, all up and down the coast and everywhere. So yeah, we're probably one of the bigger consultants in Morgan Stanley now.
Okay. Okay, cool.
Yeah. I've been doing that maybe 7 years, Morgan Stanley.
Okay.
Good. Yeah. It's been very good. So yeah, you're right. I do know. And they're, you know, they're very steady, very loyal. So it's been good.
Okay. Yeah. Other things for you to know, you know, Anna's gone and Juan gave a 1 month resignation notice.
Oh no.
So, and you know, it's just stuff happens. Anna went to work with her husband. Okay. And Juan is moving to Chicago.
Wow.
He's making a life change. He's actually leaving the industry.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, what are you going to do? I mean, the kid wants to, you know, make a change in his life and that's cool. You know?
Yeah, yeah. That stuff happens.
Now Anna, you know, George and I talked about it and, you know, we pretty much agree. We don't have an opening for her position. You know, that's like if we one day were to find somebody that we could put in that role, that's cool. Juan, there's an opening because we need an operational sales assistant.
Yeah.
So I'm just letting you know, you know. So, you know, for us, it's going to be looking around internally. Okay. I mean, if it's not filled in the next 30 days, it puts a little bit of pressure on George. It puts pressure on both of us, you know, but it puts pressure on George, you know, because he kind of will help fill the gap in effect, you know. But, I mean, hopefully we can have it filled in the next 30 days, you know, with at least somebody like part-time. But we got internal candidates to look at and maybe external. You know, I have one guy that I really like external that I think would do great in anything because he's a really motivated guy. I've known him since he was a little kid. And if you see the guy physically and see what he did in football in college, you know, the guy is something else. I mean, he's a guy that's like 5'11", you know, 175 pounds. And he went out there and he hit with the big boys. And I would tell him, you gotta be tough. You gotta be tough, man, to be your size and go out there, you know? And then he.
That's what I am. I mean, that's my size. I'd be.
No, this guy, he'd tell me and I'd be like, man, you are tough. And he was all city here in Miami, you know? And,
he's
determined. Well, I actually just sent a message to him yesterday. He applied to work in Morgan Stanley. I had told him apply as a wealth manager and let me try to get you in that way. It's a financial planning role. And I said, look, in the meantime, on your own, get your 66. We'll finish your master's. He's 2 months away from his master's at UCF. But he says, at this stage, I'm finishing it online. So I could, you know, move to Miami and finish it online if I get the job. Now, since Juan just literally told us yesterday and kind of surprised us, wow, you know, I reached out to him, but he hasn't called me back, you know, but, he is one of the most determined young guys I've ever met in my life. He went to work for Aflac part time. And this guy, I said, man, your skin is like an elephant's hide. It's so thick. Because this guy, I don't know how many doors a day he would knock on. They'd slam doors. He'd tell me the stories. I'm like, what? How do you feel about that? He goes, I don't care. I just go to the next door and he doesn't give a shit. So I had thought of him in terms of maybe someday use him in some type of marketing prospecting role, but he can do anything, you know? So, now the only issue, I talked to George about this, is you bring a guy in that doesn't have experience. Everything has to be taught. Furthermore, he's going to be held back 60 to 90 days by things he can't do because he's not licensed. Cause he has to get a 66 and a 7.
Yeah, but you're not going to have him in those roles.
Yeah. I mean, just if we need a trade placed or something like that, you know, it does. Yeah. It does hold back.
If you got the right guy,
yeah,
he's doing operations work and service work, scheduling. I mean, we have him work for George. Put him to work and you teach him and he'll get his Series 7. He'll be fine. I think it's a good idea.
I like somebody who I know and that is everything we want up here.
Yeah.
Somebody with a 66 and a 7 and we find out, cause here's another thing at Morgan, this is not an independent firm. When you get somebody and they don't work out, you're a little bit screwed because you're stuck with that person. That I know. Okay.
No.
So it's hard to boot them. You know, you're stuck.
Oh yeah. You mean, it's hard to fire people.
Yeah. Or say, hey, we don't want them anymore. Throw them on another team. That's impossible. It's impossible.
Well, you got all your, you know, HR and
ELT. Oh yeah. Well, technically the sales assistant, even though in your mind and even day to day, they work for you. Technically they don't work for you. They work for the company. And they allow you to use them, you know, so it's tough to have somebody who you feel pretty confident that they're going to stick in there and do their best job. I think that there's value there.
You can make them into a partner eventually.
I think this kid could do whatever he wants, you know, frankly. Right. I mean, he's pretty fired up.
Start him there and get him to learn the business from the ground up, meet all the other people in that. I mean, he's going to know everybody and get everything, have the ability to get everything solved. And then you gradually make him bring him in and give him more responsibility and transition him to a few clients and then make him an FA. And all of a sudden you got yourself, you know, eventually a nice kid that you can count on as a, like George, you know, teammate. I like it. I like it a lot, actually. I think that's the way to go.
Okay.
Yeah, he won't surprise you by saying, I'm going to Chicago.
No. Juan is funny. He's a cool cucumber. I mean, this guy, he never like gets excited or depressed. He's always like, even keel. And when he talks to you about anything, it's always, So yesterday we had our team meeting. And, you know, okay, so guys, anything else? Juan says, I just have one more thing. I'm changing careers. I'm moving to Chicago in 30 days. And I thought you guys should know about that. And he said it like super bland. It wasn't like big news. Yeah. And I said, wow, this guy he'll never have the heart issues that I had. That's for sure.
Definitely.
He'll live to be 150.
He'd be a very good golfer. He'd be a very good golfer.
He's got a poker face.
A bad shot.
Yeah.
He just said it like. Thank you.
It was just another item on his checklist to talk about. You know, by the way, I'm out of here. You know, you got 30 days noticed.
I just got diagnosed with cancer. I'm okay.
Yeah, it's like that. He is like that.
Yeah, he's I guess it's a good thing in business wise, but
it's
weird. Yeah,
it just kind of made me laugh the way he delivered that. You know, like I got one more item here on the checklist to talk about. I'm gone. Juan has been a real rock in the operations area. I mean, he's done a great job. You know, so. Sorry to see him go, but man, the guy has dreams in other areas and he wants to go on an adventure in Chicago and he's got a brother up there and go for it.
Sure. Yeah, it's fine. George, how about you? You got anything on your calendar? Got anything for me? Any issues?
If George says he's leaving, I'll be back at Baptist Hospital. I'll be calling 911.
I'm moving to Alaska. It says here on my calendar. So see you guys later. No, everything's great. Just, you know, kind of catching up with, you know, Al getting back into it and, everything's been fine. I think we're rolling. This one thing is gonna, you know, it's gonna be a pain for a little bit. Especially if we bring in somebody new, teaching them all the stuff. But you know, it is what it is and we'll move forward there. And if, you know, if I got to step up for a little while we get someone, you know, so be it. I'm perfectly okay with it.
The key in training is somebody that can learn something quickly.
Right.
It's fine to teach them. You know, I believe in the 5-time rule. It's not their responsibility until I tell them 5 times. Mm-hmm. But when you're training in operations, to tell them everything 5 times will.
Yep.
So if you can tell them twice or, you know, I learned something when I was coaching soccer for 5-year-olds. The best way to teach is to do it, have them do it, and then you do it again, and then have them do it, and then you do it. And, right. And then they get
repetition.
Repetition, but having them do it without you, cause they can sit and watch you all day, but if you don't make them do it, then it's not going to work.
Yeah, you need the hands-on training.
Yeah, hands-on training. And they're going to screw it up. And that's okay, just as long as it's caught quickly. That's the key.
Right.
And make sure that they give you feedback immediately if they feel like they've screwed up. Right. Or there's no penalty for screwing up. You know, it's okay. Just tell me quick and we'll fix it.
Yeah, it'll also help that, you know, I kind of came from that side so I can see it's hard to teach something that you don't know what you're doing, obviously. So I'll be able to help along. If we bring someone from the outside or have someone inside, I guess we don't know. Al and I have to speak to management on Friday and see what, see what we're going to do. So we'll see.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good. All right. So we're making progress. We're moving down. I'm not going to have a list of accountability and things you got to do and all this stuff. I'm going to get you to feel really good, Al. And your goal for this month is to get that job filled.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
That's a big one.
That's our homework, right?
Yeah. And my other goal really is to be 100% back on track with my clients.
Yeah.
100% PR'd. Everybody on track. You know, I have my list. I'm working through it. You know, I want to make sure that, cause I got notes on all the accounts. I want to make sure that everybody is 100% talked to. They're on board. Boom.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. And then we'll get back to the schedule and the agendas and the executive summary and the financial planning and all that. But you got to be 100%, Al. I don't want to put any heat on you. No more stress. Okay. I want you good recovery here.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, George. Thanks for helping.
Rob.
You've been a big help. Way to go.
No, that's what I'm here for.
Thank you.
Okay, Rob.
All right,
Rob. Thank you, sir.
You better.
Take care.
Bye.